Blessed Sunday and good morning to everybody. It's hard to imagine, but we are getting closer and closer to the great celebration of Christmas. And hence, if you notice, the visual candy, the rose vestments, the sudden shift of color. So if you notice, as we processed in, myself and Deacon, we are wearing what we call rose-colored vestments. And the rose-colored Advent candle was lit. And it's all supposed to be a visual cue. Something is about to happen. And even by the time you arrive next Sunday, our entire sanctuary will look entirely different. Because tomorrow, we're picking up 9 fresh-cut Christmas trees. As we've done now the past, I think we've done it now 3 years in a row. If you recall, I was, prior to coming to St. Mary's, I used to be up in a rural parish in the mountains. And I still have my connections up there. Burly men with chainsaws. So I gave them a call a couple weeks ago. I said, St. Mary's needs fresh cut Christmas trees. Fresh cut for the baby Jesus. So Father, we're on it. And so they got us 9 fresh cut Christmas trees. We'll get them tomorrow, we'll bring them down. So this whole place will be beautifully decorated. Again, visual candy to say, something is about to happen. And it's supposed to increase our anticipation. During this time of year, during the whole season of Advent, we're introduced to a striking character. We heard about him last Sunday. The bewildering and strangely dressed John the Baptist. We heard about him this last Sunday. And then again, now here we have John the Baptist. And where is John? He is in prison. For what? For living the faith. Remember, John the Baptist was the reason why he's jailed here. It's because he dared call out King Herod, who was living in an immoral relationship. And nobody likes to be called out on their sins. Nobody does. And in particular, people of power. And King Herod was power. And John the Baptist, dressed in camel hair and a leather belt, eating locusts and honey, challenged King Herod. He was in prison for it. And look, there he is. Imagine John the Baptist in that prison cell. It would have been dark, gloomy. It would have been cold, hungry, probably even beaten. And John the Baptist is suffering. Now, John the Baptist's suffering should give us some hope. Because here is John the Baptist, the Lord tells us in the gospel today that nobody born of women is greater than John the Baptist. The tremendous faith that John the Baptist had. But notice, even John the Baptist, like you and I, what happens when the suffering of our lives come? What happens when God is silent? When you pray and you pray for one particular issue, or if you're going through a particularly difficult time period in your life and you call out to God and all you hear is what? Crickets. And our faith is rocked. And then the doubts come in. What's the point of praying? What's the point of going to church? What's the point of this? What of that? What is the devil's favorite weapon against us? Because remember, we are Christians. We have all of the sacraments, especially as Catholics. We have 7 sacraments imbued with God's very life, His grace. Everything that we have the Holy Eucharist, the Alabastozo. We have every sacrament that God could ever give humanity. And so what is the only weapon that the devil have left? Discouragement. If he can get us to give up, that's the only weapon he has. And here is John the Baptist sitting in prison. And John the Baptist is having a crisis of faith. As we hear the Gospels beginning to unfold, it says, go ask Jesus, he's talking to his own disciples now, because he's hearing about all of the mighty works that our Lord is doing. And he says, go and ask Jesus if he is the one that they've been waiting for. Which is a strange question when you think about it. Because remember, harken back, all the way back to last Sunday's gospel reading when we're first introduced to John the Baptist. Remember that story when John the Baptist is at the Jordan River and he's baptizing people left and right. There would have been thousands of people coming to John the Baptist. And then remember when John the Baptist first sees Jesus walking towards him. What does John the Baptist say? And again, as Catholics, we know it. Because at every single Mass, when you're about to receive Holy Communion, the priest shows you the Eucharist. And what do we say? We echo the words of John the Baptist at every single Mass. And we all know it by heart. Because when you hear it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I recognize that phrase. It's John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist say? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. So John the Baptist recognizes our Lord the moment that he sees him. But then today in the gospel, he says, Jesus, are you the one? Do you see the difference? What happened? Well, what always happens when suffering comes to us? Is it real? Is Jesus real? Is the Catholic Church real? Are the sacraments real? Is my faith even worth it? Our Lord, when asked and posed this question, quotes the first reading today of Isaiah chapter 35. And it's utterly important for us to remember the context of the prophet Isaiah, whom Jesus quotes. So the prophet Isaiah was active in the 8th century at a very particular time period in the history of the Jewish people. In the 8th century, the Assyrian Empire, which was the dominant power of that age period, that time, that, and they were conquering the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. Because remember, at this time period, the Israelites had separated themselves. There was 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. And the Assyrians came in and devastated the northern kingdom, wiped them out. That's why we call them today the lost tribes of Israel. And now the Assyrians were coming south to finish off the Jewish people. And they had almost conquered the southern kingdom, except for the city of Jerusalem. And so it is in this context that Isaiah is preaching to a people absolutely terrified, absolutely devastated, and absolutely in darkness. Because they think that they're next. And what does the prophet Isaiah say to them? The desert, the parched land, meaning the devastation of their people, the darkness, shall exalt, and the steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. Do you see what Isaiah is doing? He's talking to a people living in darkness saying, don't give up. Or in the last letter of the Saint James today, in the second reading, What does St. James tell us? Be patient, brothers and sisters, for your hearts must be firm. See, what Isaiah is doing, he's talking to a people living in darkness. And all of us should have an indication of this. So let me ask all of you. Do you remember what the sun looks like? It's been foggy for what, how many weeks now? What does the sun even look like? I don't even know. You had to drive towards San Francisco, or you had to go up to the mountains to even get out of this fog. We're all miserable. Amen? Where's the sun? And so in a silly way, it's kind of like, you're like, oh gosh, I can't wait for the sun to come out. But we know one day it shall. And so Isaiah is talking to a people living in utter bleakness. And he says, Isaiah, your God will come. Now listen to these words and pay very close attention. These words were written 8 centuries before the coming of Jesus. 8 centuries. Isaiah says, one day your God will come. He will come to save you. And then notice the indications of how you will know when this day will happen. The eyes of the blind will be open. The deaf ears will be cleared. The lame will leap. The crippled will leap like a stag. And the tongue of the mute will sing. So these are all the signs, the hope of one day. And now this is where John the Baptist, when he's having his crisis of faith living in darkness, he says, go ask Jesus if he's the one that we've been waiting for 8 centuries. And now what does the Lord do? He quotes verbatim, directly, Isaiah chapter 35. He says, now go tell John what you see and hear. And what does Jesus himself say? Go tell John of my works. And he lays it out. The blind recover their sight. The crippled are walking. The lepers are cured. And the deaf hear. And so when he takes that message back to John the Baptist, sitting in that dark, dank prison cell, what is John the Baptist immediately knowing what he's referring to? Because John the Baptist knows his Bible, and he knows directly Isaiah chapter 35. And John the Baptist sitting in that cell would have said, the day has finally arrived. Isaiah chapter 35, for 8 centuries we've been waiting for, is here. What Jesus gifted John the Baptist in that prison cell was his hope. Do not give up. And John the Baptist didn't. Remember what happened to him? They beheaded. They cut off his head. And oh, how I guarantee John the Baptist was smiling all the way. Let's for a moment, let's jump into our St. Mary's time machine. And let's go to that dank prison cell of John the Baptist. All of us, somehow we all squeezed in. And we're in that room with John the Baptist, chained on that stone floor in that prison cell. John the Baptist, now whose hope has been restored. John the Baptist, how can we prepare for the coming of Jesus this Christmas? What do you think John the Baptist would say? Well, we know what he would say. Go back to last Sunday's reading when it was at the Jordan River. The first words ever recorded by John the Baptist. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. How do we translate that into today's language? my brothers and sisters, go to confession. Go to confession. None of this, oh, I can confess Jesus in my heart and I'll be fine. No, because what did Jesus tell us to do? Confess your sins to one another. And what is that awesome gift that he gives his apostles when he breathed on them? Forgive the sins whose sins, forgive the sins of those whose sins are retained and retain those sins who, you know, the whole language of the power to give, to bind and to loose sins. And so, my friends, this Wednesday, as is our tradition in our parish, our tradition during Advent and Lent, we have our penance service. This Wednesday at 6:30, we will have 10 priests here, ready to hear your confession, to prepare yourselves and get ready for the coming of Jesus. And as you know, bribing you is not beneath me. I will happily bribe you to come to confession. And so everybody who comes to confession this Wednesday will receive a miraculous medal. It's a medal of the Blessed Virgin Mary, blessed by Pope Leo himself. I went to Rome over the summer for a class reunion, and I was thinking of you, and I brought these medals. Like, I asked myself, what gift can I give to the parish? So I have medals that everyone will receive who comes to confession, blessed by Pope Leo, and these medals were touched to the tombs of the apostles of Peter and Paul. I lugged that heavy backpack full of medals to the Vatican, and I touched it against the tomb of Peter, and I lugged it all the way across the other side of town to the tomb of St. Paul. All for you. Happily so. Because I love you. And I am your father. And so, my friends, what is the greatest way we can get ready for Christmas? Follow the words of St. John the Baptist, on whom nobody greater has been born, according to our Lord. Come to confession this Wednesday at 6:30. I and my brother priests will be joyfully waiting for you.